we welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Amen. Anyway, we're going to get into this message, and y'all pray for my daughter. Stuff is happening. So let me rush through this message. No, I'm just playing. Amen. I can't leave the day anyway, but amen. Y'all be praying for her, boy, because next time y'all see me, you ain't going to be able to tell me anything. So you better tell me today. Amen. Two grandbabies. When the devil said you wasn't going to have any. Thank you, Dr. Janine, for seeing after my family like that and keeping your promise of, you said, in 2 years, you're going to have a grandbaby. She told me that. That was 3-4 years ago. Well, that, no, it's the truth. She told me. So, amen. God is just too good. God is just too good. Amen. For us to, amen. He deserves everything. Amen. Absolutely. Look at somebody and say, absolutely everything. Everything. Amen. Amen. Brother, and Izzy, man, I'm going to say it. I don't care. Had a birthday. He's turned 18 and he released. Is the album out? How do you get it? What do you? I mean, what's your name on the album? Izzy J? Israel 518. Y'all support Izzy. But man, it's a blessing. Amen. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to see his dad, his mom, and then that addition, and ain't no telling what the other two gonna do, but it's just a blessing, and I want the best for them because they give their best to us. Amen? That ought to be you ought to be praying for people that give their best. You don't understand the warfare it takes to stand in position at ABC, to just stay on post. It takes real strength. Real strength. Amen. Amen. Because folk hate truth. Folks hate truth. You know, this week I just been taking all kind of shots. Just folks just hate truth. And it's worse now than it was when I first started. This generation will try to kill you. Yes. Over some hair. You know, that's what everybody's mad about. What I said about hair. When we grew up, the girls, women couldn't wear pants, makeup, nothing. And they still went to church and were saved. Amen. But when you talk about men, M-E-N, men with braids and dangling dangles, locking locks and slinging slingable. Men. That's what everybody mad about. So they ready to kill over their hair. Sitting under a woman getting braids. Adding beads and rubber bands and colors so they can have hot slingable hair. Men. That's what the black race is upset about. Y'all upset about hair. You're gonna discard the whole message, a 2-hour podcast that could change your life, and that's all y'all said in the comments. Hair.
Talk about it. Come
on. Hair. You wear it in here, we're going to tell you to change it. Because ain't nobody in here wearing no hair unless they in rebellion. Because that's all long hair on a man is. It's rebellion. And we're going to tell you about yourself in here.
Right.
Well, Jay, we might have to have some clippers in the youth room. Hair. Oh, that's bad. That's really bad. Do y'all know how bad that is? Well, why can't they wear that? Because it's rebellion. Because God said it. That's a gender marker. God said it. The Bible said it. The Bible said it. Anyway, thank God for the truth. Thank God for the truth. Amen. 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 AdamandBeliever.com/ Look at somebody and say, handle with care.
Come on, Pastor Breeden.
Handle with care. Amen. Amen. You know, me and my wife, we love what we do. And we're going to keep doing it. This is just what we do. Amen. Can't make everybody happy, but we do love you. Amen. Maybe we don't have enough love to cover the love you missed growing up. Maybe we don't have enough love to cover the love you missed because of your divorce. Maybe we don't have enough love to cover the love that you missed because you were abandoned or neglected or abused. Maybe we don't have enough to cover that part of you. Maybe you need extra help for that part. Because that's not the church's job. Our job is to preach the gospel. And you apply it. You apply it. That don't require a meeting with me. That don't require a phone call from her. That's you taking it and applying it. What if we had to call the disciples? You can't reach Paul. You better read what he said. John was in exile. He couldn't talk to nobody. But people, this generation, they think church is something that is not. We're not here to facilitate your desires and every need you have. That's not our job. Our job is to preach and lead what God has told us to do. And we got plenty of success stories in here of folks that got what was said and applied it. Now, maybe you don't like the band. Maybe it's too loud. There's too many speakers. Maybe the screen's too much blue light. Whatever. There are places with chandelier lights. But in here, it's going to be what it is, and you're not changing it. Amen. And look at somebody say, and that's all right. Anybody like it here? Amen. Look at somebody and say, handle with care. Whenever a savior of God's people is announced in the heavenly realm, the devil targets their family, their birth, their health, and growth because of his anticipated damage, of the anticipated damage he will sustain to his kingdom. So the devil knows a threat is coming. And I believe, I said this in my book, I believe God announces it. Jesus' birth was announced by certain prophets. And the devil had to know because the devil targeted it. The scripture Luke 2 and 7 confirms that. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There are usually strange circumstances attributed to the coming of a person that will be used against Satan's plan. The devil tries to cause distractions, persecutions, and all kinds of unusual occurrences to hinder. Look at somebody say hinder. He know he can't stop it. He know he can't stop nothing God is doing. But because we're human, he can use us to hinder. Cause us to hinder the effectiveness of God's chosen vessels. Exodus 1 and 22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, ye shall cast in the river, and every daughter, ye shall save alive. Why did Pharaoh do this? Well, the devil was making him do it. The devil made him worried about how many children of Israel there were. And if they keep being born at the rate they were being born, he would be overtaken by. The devil put those thoughts in his mind so that he would institute abortion for all the boys. Abortion by drowning. Trying to get Moses. He wasn't trying to get Moses. The devil was trying to get Moses. Look at somebody and say, but you can't stop God. You can't stop God's purpose for stuff. Ooh. And I don't want to be on the side of that that's trying to stop it. A lot of times, the devil is using us, to hinder the effectiveness of God's chosen because of our own lack of respect, bad spiritual insight, and discernment when it comes to God's plan for people. One thing I've tried to teach you in here as your pastor is selflessness. How to not be selfish. How to deal with yourself so that you won't be one of the ones hindering the effectiveness of what God is trying to do. Amen. The punishment for those that lead people astray is always greater. When you're one that will lead people from what they need, your punishment is greater. First Thessalonians 2 and 18. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I. Paul said, I would have come several times. Why couldn't Paul come? Because Satan did what? Hindered. Didn't stop him. He just hindered. Several times he wasn't able to get to Thessalonica because Satan hindered. Now, did Satan show up with horns and a pitchfork and start jabbing at Paul and making him go the other direction? Mm-mm. He showed up in people. People that didn't believe that Paul should be preaching. Because he was once a murderer of Christians. The people that was cheering the snake on when he got bit. Because people hate truth. Can I keep preaching? God selects personalities. Did you know that?
Yes.
He selects personalities. He needs people a certain way to do certain things. So he selects personalities that will carry his mantle to a certain demographic. Certain group of folks need a certain personality. Amen? That's why James wrote what he wrote, because of his personality. Paul wrote the books he wrote. Now, one of them could have wrote it all. Yeah, Paul could have wrote all of the New Testament. God even used four personalities for the gospel to get four different spins on it. All of it matches, but it's just written different because of personalities. Yeah. So he used Paul to write to certain churches, but then certain people need to hear from James, because James was a little more straightforward and hardcore. But the ones that was just no wiggle room at all, Peter needed to write. Now Peter went from the one that just wasn't right in the head to the one that became like no nonsense at all. Like you're going to hell. Yes, that's it. That's it. You're just going to hell. Can we be saved? Well, y'all going to hell. I mean, but it was different personalities. John had to write Revelations. It was just different personalities. God selects personalities that will carry his mantle to a certain demographic. He's not going to select somebody. He's not going to let somebody that quits in life do anything for him. So if you're a quitter, meaning you put your hands to the plow and look back, he says you're not fit to do anything for him. You mean you go some of the distance and then drop the plow? Stop plowing? Then you're not fit. So that personality God can't use. Then when things get tough and you start feeling the way you start, but then things are going to change. And God is like, when did it change? That's what I ask people. Because we've been the same. You know what I'm saying? Like ABC has been the same. So if anything changed, it was you. But he selects personalities that will carry his mantle to certain demographics. He anoints and appoints people because of who they are and how they are. Y'all believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. Psalm 75 and 7. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and set it up another.
Yes.
So it's who's God. God is the one doing the picking. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, but you the one that selected Elder Ken. I selected him because God picked him. And God told me to pick him. That's it. And when you get out of line with him, you out of line with me, and you out of line with ABC. And you out of line with God. Yeah, but his personality is perfect for ABC. I need him sitting right there making the noises that he makes. You don't think God designed that? When he ain't here, man, I'll be missing it. Mikhail, you just can't do it right. You ain't been here long enough. You gotta go through some things. But yeah, it's just the personalities. God is looking at all of that. That's why you got to work on yourself. Look at somebody and say, work on yourself. See, you got to work on yourself because you don't want to miss being selected because of the wrong personality. Brother, I'm just not confrontational. Then you can't do nothing for God. The gospel message is confrontation. You got to confront. You got to reprove. You got to rebuke all of that. You can't do that from behind a keyboard. So work on that. Work on yourself. Can I keep preaching? I'm enjoying this. Amen. The devil tries to use our perception. Look at somebody and say, our perception. So he's trying to use our perception of people against one another. What we think. Now, you know God ain't asked you what you thought about nobody. You didn't know that? God ain't said, what you think about the pastor? No, you took it upon yourself. What you think about ABC? God ain't asked you that. Because if you say, well, then he's going to be like, well, why are you going? Why are you there? Devil tries to use our perception of people against one another so that we will inhibit what God is trying to do through them. You know, especially when you see somebody grow up. Jesus grew up in front of folks and they did not take him seriously. He said a prophet is without honor in his own hometown. Because y'all still remember me as little Jesus playing with the rocks and the sticks. You changed his diaper and spanked it. Can you spank Jesus? I don't know if Jesus ever got a spanking. Since he didn't have no sin, I think your hand might be leprous. He draw that hand back, it's withered. Don't you hit Jesus now. Can't hit Jesus. Your belt just turned to a snake and bite you. He was still Jesus. But, yeah. Because we may feel offended or done wrong by them, we come against them. Then we try to turn others against them without God's leading and submission to his plan. So God hasn't told you to pick up the phone and turn anybody against anyone. Look at somebody and say, that's not God. Why would God do that? God is not messy. So did God tell you? That's what you need to ask, folk. Look, while I got you on the phone, did God tell you to call me and tell me this? I will stop this real quick. What did God say? Are you in conversation with somebody? Look, man, wait, just stop. Did God tell you to have this conversation? Behind somebody's back. When the Bible said if you have aught with somebody, you go to them. And them alone. So why would God contradict himself and be in the midst of your stupid conversation? That's all you, bruh. Jesus said, blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. Yeah. Don't be in me and be offended. Yeah. You know what kind of contradiction that is? If he's the way, truth, and the life, and you in him yet offended with his process, with who he chose. We must be careful that we are not being a hindrance because of our what? Y'all, this is emotional overload 2025. Everyone, see, the internet has made it so easy for us to get what we want all the time. You don't understand how that trains your brain. When you can get what you want all the time and everything is at your beck and call all the time, it trains your brain to expect that. Then when you don't get what you want, you go to feeling away. When people don't do it the way you want them to, you start feeling away. And you mentally just check out. Because of your emotions. This is how I feel. What did God say? Where is God in all of this? Did you ask him? I had some big name artists calling me this week, wanting to talk. Famous folk. So I had to ask God which ones to talk to, if any. Do you want me to talk to them? Because you know, I don't care how many hit records you got. You're in my videos. I've talked about you. So I don't care. So I had to ask God, which one? Do I talk to this one? Will it even be fruitful? Is this what you want? I have to ask him. Because if I just go to jawing and talking, man, I don't know what will happen. You know what I'm saying? So we can't just pick up the phone. We can't just start telling people everything, not asking God, can this person handle what I'm about to say? Or am I about to do the unthinkable and pull somebody away from something that could help them? Pull them away from deliverance because of the way I'm feeling. God has people that he has chosen, and the devil wants us to fight against them in some way to stop what God is doing through them. So when we are insubordinate, disrespectful, stubborn, and selfish, we can make their job harder and upset God in the process. He says, obey them that have rule over you.
That's right.
And do what?
Submit yourselves.
That means you can't come in here and just decide what you want to do.
That's
not submitting. You're out of order. Says, for they watch for your souls, and as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not grief. They're doing it with grief. It's unprofitable for you. You know why? Because God going to get you.
Yes,
he's going to get you.
Amen.
If this is the tool God is using, this, y'all believe God is using this ministry to teach? If this is the tool he's using to teach you, this is the tool he's using to help your children, if this help your marriage, whatever the case, if this is what he's using, you don't want to hinder that. It's going to cost you. Many are not being blessed and are struggling because they persecute God's anointed leaders and ministry tools. Because they are upset or not happy with their own lives, they need someone or something to blame. That's us. Devil will always cause them to mention church hurt or ministry flaws as the reason for their pain. Yeah. That's how it can be all good and then it's all bad. Mark 16 and 18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will what? Now Jesus is saying that the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it. He's saying that because he's Lord of the church.
Amen.
So he's saying what he's not going to let hell do to the church.
Amen.
So if you're working for hell, you got a problem. Sure, there are unrighteous workers of iniquity in church and there are thieves in the temple. I got a whole video about that. Definitely that's real. But we must pray for people and not try to stop them. Listen, we're not the ones that stop people. God is the one that will stop them. And if we are praying and listening to him, we will be instructed to let his justice prevail. You know why we got to let God's justice prevail? Because we don't know everything. You got to let the one that know everything be the judge. Romans 12 and 19, dearly beloved, just don't avenge yourself. Don't get revenge, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith who? So you don't get people back when they hurt you. I ain't talking about the church. I'm talking about just period. Somebody cuts you off on the freeway, you don't get them back. Road rage is a sin. Amen. Now you may have a few words that you keep in the car. In the car. You keep them words in the car. You're rolling down your window shouting out stuff now. You in Texas. You don't want to do that. But you may have some words even in your heart. I'm not going to let them out of my heart, but they're there. Some ways I feel. Amen? Amen. But we don't get revenge. You don't be driving them down. Following them home. Amen. Like you in some old hit town. You just driving them down. Gonna run them down. Nah, man. And I just can't get that mad about a car situation, man. He cut me off. I'm not just gonna be mad for days. Dishes at home broke. You broke your dishes. You cost yourself money. Yeah, it's not worth all that. But we don't get revenge on people. Amen. Come on, y'all. Look at somebody and say, we don't get revenge. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And I promise you, God know how to get people back in a way. Man, I've seen it. I've seen it. Folks would rather you get them back. When God go to pan. Yeah. Like old folks say, it hurt worse. Taking vengeance on people is not biblical. This is you taking vengeance. That's what happens. So Branch, I hate you. I ran into you, Branch. I ran into you and you scraped my arm. I'll show you. That's hilarious, isn't it? I'll show you. That's the perfect image for vengeance. I promise you, that's the results of it. Taking vengeance on people is not biblical. Starting a coup against the church or church leader is demonic. Whispering, gossiping, spreading discord are some of the things that God hates the most. Man, I just don't want to be on God's hate list. I don't want God to hate me. You mean I've been going to church all this time and God hates what I do? Because I can't keep my mouth shut. These paths all lead to our own self-destruction. So we must be careful when we are pursuing ways to get back at others. You know you never really get anybody back. The only person you get back is you. Amen. Look at somebody and say, don't saw that branch. Don't you saw that? Leave that branch intact. You remember how the old folks said, it'll hurt, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. That tree has other branches. You ain't gonna hurt that tree. It'll grow that branch back while you on the ground with your leg in your neck. Proverbs 6 tells us God hates a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth what? Among who? The world? No. Brethren. Summary! You enjoy that, Jay? I appreciate you, man. There are some leaders that are simply not from God. Amen. The internet got everybody thinking, just because they have a following, that they're a leader. You a leader of no one. You're virtual. That's not a real leader. That's virtual reality. I don't care if you got a million subscribers. You're not their leader. Because it's virtual. We don't even know if all of them like you. Some of them are there for just, I don't know. But there's no commitment. Definitely you not, you know, when you love something, you give to it. The Bible says that. That's where your treasure's going to be, where your heart is. And folk watch all them videos and don't give anything. So they don't love it. Ah, YouTube will pay them. What? So you mean you keep all your money and don't give to any ministry? Really? So that means your heart isn't really with any ministry. You mean you come to ABC and chill in the cut? Now, I don't preach money messages, but my goodness. You're not going to give anything? That means it don't mean anything, according to the Bible. I'm preaching in here, and I'm walking heavy in these Kobe's. But there are some leaders that are simply just not of God. They're just not. They call themselves and God didn't call them at all. They teach false doctrine. They are ministers of unrighteousness and teach heretical doctrine. Men that teach heretical doctrine are not of God. Amen. The Bible tells you after the first and second admonishment, you leave them alone and don't talk to them no more. You're not supposed to listen to any heresy whatsoever. Whatsoever. God said, let that person be accursed. Separate yourself from them. That's what it said. Separate. Get away. Because if it's heretical, ooh, it's going to mess you up. Yeah, but there are some people, that's what they do. And people flock to them because it's a mega church. But it's heresy. They teaching heresy. I don't care how many people are there. The Bible said, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there'll be that will find it. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And few there'll be that will find it. I'm not going for big numbers. I don't care how many people you got out there. I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care how much money you bring in. Bro, if you teaching heretical doctrine, you're a heretic. And I'm not listening to it. This is why they preach like that because they preach and lead for money, fame, and accolades. That's why they do it. They wanted to be a rock star when they was young. They wanted to be a recording artist when they was. They wanted to be something and didn't make it in the music industry. So let me start a church.
Come on.
Record an album every week. Yeah. Dancing and singing and dancing. When you gonna preach? Dancing and singing and dancing every Sunday, just cooning and buffooning. When you gonna preach? When you gonna preach? I ain't talking about bringing a bunch of props in there. You got a boat on the stage and they splashing water buckets at you. And that's what Jesus did. He was in the water. You got everybody wet on the first three rounds. That ain't preaching. That's a skit, man. That's Saturday Night Live. That's a skit. You're doing skits. You ain't preaching. Right. know that they be doing that though. You know they do. A live elephant just come down the aisle and down. You got a live elephant on. How many kids want to ride? I'm going to show you how big God is. That's an elephant. Don't need no whole elephant. You use the church tithes and offering for an elephant? You know how much it costs to get an elephant? Gotta pay all that shipping. Give somebody the mic. Somebody stop. But they be doing that dumb stuff. That's not preaching. Now we're gonna have an altar call. And half the churches up there, see? Y'all was talking about the elephant. Look at all the people. They want to ride. You said, I want to ride. If I'm there, put me on that. I want to ride too. That looks like fun. They ain't come for no altar call. Did nobody come? They came for the elephant, man. However, no matter how big the elephant is, we are not to fight them or try to end them. Amen. That's not our job. That's not, you don't get the members together and say, y'all, this elephant was ridiculous. We need to meet about the elephant. No, you chose that church. You knew he was crazy before the elephant. Look at the other stuff he did. The boat? He knew he had to top the boat. Well, I've cheered myself up today. I promise you, I feel real good. All it takes is a few jokes. Well, but we don't try to fight them or end them. Amen. I don't pick up the phone and, brother, I saw that elephant video. You should be ashamed of yourself. No, that's the church he's in, and those people like it. Amen. So I'm going to pray. God, let your will be done. God might change his heart. I don't know what God is going to do. Now, God will tell me, put the elephant on your, in your message and show people. Because the elephant wasn't hidden. That's right. Wasn't no secret where you had to have elephant tickets. That's it. Okay. But it wasn't done in secret. You put that on the internet and you was proud of that elephant. Let me just move on from the elephant example. I think it's best. I think that's best. Let's move. However, we are not to fight them or try to end them. Sure, we can call out their biblical error. But attacking them personally and tearing down their lives is not God's way. He is the only entity that is allowed to seek vengeance. Amen. Yeah. So we must be sure that we are never so angry that we forget this precept. We must let God be God. Many times we may feel injured, hurt, or neglected by a leader because we do not like the way they handled something. And that's going to happen. Amen. I've had to apologize to people because I mishandled something, because I'm a human being. And y'all know I'll be the first one to come to you. Hey, man, let me apologize. for doing that. God will convict me, let me know, hey, I need to apologize, right? And we all need to be like that. Amen? Where we don't let pride stop us. We go to him, hey, man, I got that wrong. So yeah, you may be hurt and may be carrying it. And most of the time, the leader don't even know they did it. They're leading the way they lead because of their personality. You see what I'm saying? Y'all know my personality. I might just pop off and joke about something. That's my personality. I try to see, you know, you can tell the people to joke with. So I try to weigh that out. It'd be people I know or, you know, something like that. They sitting there already. I'm not joking. I'm not going to say nothing about your lips. Especially. Yeah, I'm not joking with her. Oh, she can take a joke. No, she can't. I promise you she can't. So, you may feel injured or hurt, neglected by a leader because you do not like the way they handle something. Well, God uses personalities, and the way people are is usually why he called them. Yeah. This may interfere with your expectation and what you were accustomed to. It may even irritate you to a certain degree because of how you have been treated in the past. Yet, you must remember that God is not asking your permission to use someone. Like Dr. Carter said, who are you? Why would God ask you that? He's asking your permission. He picks people because of his divine sovereignty and pleasure. We do not get to pick how people are, but we definitely can pick who we desire to lead us. So we must be careful to never try to turn people against someone that God has called and is using, because we could be pulling them away from what they were going to receive from God. And this puts the blood of them on our hands, and we have to answer to God for it. So be careful how you handle those that God is using. Amen. God is using your mama. Use your mama to have you. Be careful how you handle your mother. That's your mama. You don't have the right to grow up and not like something. That's your mama. Honor your father and mother. You may hate something your daddy did. You don't have the right to mishandle your father. Honor your father and your mother. Now I have to break it down. They think I'm just talking about church leaders. No, them too. But you don't have the right to, you don't have the right to mistreat your husband or wife. You can't purposely hurt them and get them back for something they did to you. Oh, somebody like, go back to the elephant, Pastor. No, I'm dealing with the elephant in the room this time. You can't talk to your husband any kind of way. You can't talk to your wife any kind of way. You can't do that. Who are you to pay somebody back? So be careful how you handle those that God is using. All right, give me a minute. What time is it? Oh, yeah, we good. Oh, this is the story of the folks that mishandled who God was using. So, Dathan and Abiram and Korah just decided one day, Moses, you think you holy? Everybody's holy. So you think you the pastor? We all pastors. Everybody's the leader. Why do you think, why are you separating yourself as better than the rest of us? Yeah, they did. Korah, Dathan, Abiram, their family, and Eliab, or well, they were sons of Eliab, at their families, and then it was 250 Levites that decided that they should be priests. Moses, I mean, if Aaron, if he's a priest, we priest. Ain't we all equal under God? It's a real story. Y'all, this is the first hell sighting in the Bible. This is God created hell right here. Yes, he did. So Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram after they was talking all this stuff. And they said, we're not coming. Why we come to you? You ain't running nothing. You think you the boss, but you're not. So we're not coming. It is a small thing that thou hast brought us out of Egypt and brought us into the wilderness. A small thing? Yeah, because see, that's how people do. They forget what God had done for. Even in a church, you forget the message that changed your life. You forget your children. You forget everything. Oh, that's a small thing. A small thing? Red Sea parting was a walls of water? Small? Fed you manna from heaven? Small? Yeah. That was a small thing, you bringing us up from the land that flowed with milk and honey and then brought us to the wilderness to die. And now you finna make yourself a prince over us? Like you really think you should be leading us? We're all leaders. Then he said, moreover, you ain't even brought us to the promised land. Didn't give us inheritance of fear. You didn't satisfy our needs. You didn't give us what we want. Who you think you are? Now will you put out the eyes of these men? So are you going to blind us all? No, we're not coming. So Moses was very wroth. You know, Moses was real meek, but this time Moses was like, you know what? Normally I would pray that God, you know, would spare y'all. But you know what? He said, Lord, respect not their offering. I've not taken one donkey from them. I'm not saying that because y'all crazy. Neither have I hurt one of them. You know, somebody will clip just that out of the message and have it on TikTok. Listen to G-Craig. I'm smarter than that. Neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said to Korah, okay, be thou and all thy company before the Lord tomorrow. We gonna let God decide. He said, so get the censers, put fire in them and the incense tomorrow, and we gonna let God decide. Bring it before the Lord, every man his sense. All 250 of the Levites that believe that they're supposed to be priests, let them bring the censers. And then Aaron's going to come and each one of you have one. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all of his congregation, all his family, everybody that was following him against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Then the glory of the Lord appeared unto the congregation. Now this is the time, if I was Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, I would have started rethinking things. Okay. Now, My emotions got the best of me. Got myself out here a little bit. God, I'm sorry. These folks. Say, God. Came and appeared. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, back up, because I'm killing everybody. He said, separate yourself from this congregation so I can consume them in a moment. You know, I don't take God but a moment. Get out the way so I can just bat one eye. Pow! Everybody gone. Egypt gone. I had to have the world, everybody. God was upset. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces and said, oh God, the God of spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and will thou be wrought with the whole congregation? So God, don't charge this to them. Spare them. Man, that Moses was something else, wasn't he? Still praying for him, just like we do you. Still praying. And you ain't gonna stop me from praying for you and wanting the best for you. You're not stopping that. That's our job. So he fell on his face. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said, okay, now I'm killing somebody. So speak to somebody gotta die. So speak to the congregation saying, get up from the tabernacle. Just get Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and all of their stuff and all their family. So Moses rose up and went, got Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs. Don't touch nothing of the wicked ones unless you be consumed in their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out, stood in the door of their tents with their wives, sons, and their little children. And Moses said, okay, here's what's about to happen. Hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me. You're going to know that I'm the leader. And I haven't done this on my own. Why would I? Why would anybody want to lead them? Moses saying, I didn't do this on my own. God sent me. He said, but to prove it, if these men die a common death like all men die, or if they be visited after visitation of all men, then the Lord didn't send me. So if these guys standing right here just keep living, die like a normal death, then God didn't send me. He said, but if the Lord make a new thing, and then he starts prophesying. Do you know Moses had the power to call out what was going to happen to them? Yes. This hadn't happened before. Moses invented it in this moment because he had God on his side. Yes. So he says, the Lord's going to make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up and all that pertain unto them. And they go down quick into the pit. Then you will understand that these men didn't provoke me. They provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end, right after he said, Lord, the ground opened up under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertain unto Korah and all their goods. They and everything they owned went down how? Because remember Moses said they're not going to die a regular death like normal men. So they went down alive. Hell, the invention. And all Israel that were around about them fled at the cry of them. And they said, lest we be swallowed up. Jesus! Jesus wasn't even here yet. Jesus! That's the time to call on the name of the Lord. folk go down alive. And there came out a fire from God. Said, I'm not finished. There's still these 250 guys that believe they should be priests. Let me show them what I believe. There came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered the incense. Everyone stand to your feet. You know, all I'm preaching this message for is so we will keep a healthy respect for what God is doing. Amen. Amen. Even if it ain't working out for us, it might be working for somebody else, and I don't want to hinder that. Amen. I want to handle with care. Amen. Amen. But when you grew up, and maybe you grew up in a situation or circumstance that needs dealing with within your heart so that you can be better about doing these kinds of things, better about respecting your elders or leaders or whatever the case, I want to pray for you today. So just come on up. Whoever you are, just come on. Come on, come on, come on. Just come on. I just want to strengthen that area so that I can stick with the Lord and quit listening and not fall victim or not, you know, just, amen. I just want to handle God's preachers with care. This is something I struggled with back when I was doing Truth Bound Hip Hop back in the day. I started hating everybody. I just hated everybody. Hated everything that had to do with church. Hated every preacher, everything. Because I started finding out too much, book. You start finding out too much, something happened to you. Start hating church. I got disrespectful toward people and things. And, you know, And it took a toll on my life. And would have destroyed me had I not gotten a hold of things and had a one-on-one with the Lord. And God began to tell me, say, hey, you worried about stuff that you shouldn't be worried about. You carrying stuff that you shouldn't be carrying. You carrying stuff that I'm supposed to be carrying. So we got to handle God's people. And I'm not talking about church leaders. I'm talking about all God's people. Amen. Mother's Day came. You didn't call your mama. Father's Day is on his way. And you shoot the middle finger in the air every Father's Day. You can't be. No. 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 You got to handle people with the same care you want to be handled. The same care. The same love. Man, when people start saying they don't feel loved, that means they wasn't loving. Everyone bow your heads. Lord, we just thank you, God, for opportunities like this to hear this kind of truth. Truth that is challenging. Challenging and truth that comes, Father God, packaged and wrapped this way, but challenges us to do things better. To take steps toward being better. Father God, to just becoming better. The way we handle things, the way we handle people, the way we handle your vessels, the way we handle your leaders, your authorities, the way we handle loved ones, the way we handle our husbands, our wives, the way we handle our children. Father God, we want to handle with care. That same love, that same care that we want to handle with that. So help us, God. Help us. Father God, to consult you in these times so we don't act first. Consult you, Father God, in these times so that we don't step out and do something that we'll regret. We pray, Father God, that we can drop all offenses. No matter what happened to us, no matter what someone has done, we just drop them right now. I'm dropping this. Not talking about it anymore, not giving it life. It doesn't exist anymore. I'm moving on from here today. And Father, help us to handle people with care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 On your way to your seats, hug somebody and say, handle with care, please. From this day forward, handle care. Handle with care.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis, founder of EX Ministries and pastor of the Adamant Believers Council in North Richland Hills, Texas. If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to be a financial blessing to us, please send your donation to EX Ministries, P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at exministries.com.